Do you overthink your golf shots? Do you get frustrated because you know you can play this game, but your mind's getting in the way of things? You're just overthinking. You're stressing out. You can't seem to take that fantastic range game to the golf course. I've got the answer for you. Keep listening to this podcast because you're going to learn some wonderful tips that's going to help you master your mental game and put you on the path to lower scores and more fun on the golf course.
Welcome to the Go Forth and Golf Podcast, where you can listen to everything related to the game of golf. Golf tips to help you improve your golf game, entertaining interviews, discussions about the latest in golf equipment, and so much more. Now, here is your host, PGA professional, Steve Goforth.
What is up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Really excited about this one, as I am really all of them, but this one in particular. I named this podcast or titled this podcast Mastering Your Mental Game, because that's exactly what you're going to do after listening to this. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down and speaking with Dr. Saul Mellor. Saul has a PhD in sports psychology, and he shared so much great information with me in this conversation. Just to give you a little bit of a background on Dr. Mellor, he's helped golfers on the PGA Tour. He's also helped teams on the NHL, the NFL, NBA, Olympic athletes, Major League Baseball, and even been a consultant for organizations such as Honda and Motorola, Nike and Visa. So he knows his stuff, and he shares some fantastic information that's going to help you play better golf. He wrote a book, and it's called Winning Golf, The Mental Game. And he shares so many different insights to things he's learned over the years through helping people in other sports and also helping people in the game of golf. And I can promise you what he's going to tell you today and what you're going to listen to works. Give it a chance. Read that book that he put out there, because your ultimate goal here as a golfer is to play better golf, right? To enjoy the game more. And it starts with the mind and getting the mind and the body to connect. If we're not thinking the right way out there, it's going to be difficult for our body to do things it knows to do. But a lot of times we have tension in the body and we're overthinking things, or we are not focused on what we need to be focused on due to the distractions or a bad shot and so forth. Cannot thank Dr. Mellor enough for being my guest and for spending some time with me. And we actually got to chat a little bit after the podcast, after we got finished recording and got to know him a little bit better. And again, extremely grateful for his time and his wisdom. And I plan on using that knowledge for myself and for my students going forward. So get ready to take some really, really good notes. Let's bring in Dr. Mellor, author of Winning Golf, The Mental Game. Dr. Mellor, welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited about having you on here. Huge fan of everything you've done in your career when it comes to sports psychology and, of course, the game of golf. How are you today?
I'm feeling fine, and it's a real pleasure to be here with you, Steve.
Pleasure's mine, Dr. Mellor. I greatly appreciate it. You have written a fantastic book, Winning Golf, The Mental Game. It's creating the focus, the feeling, and the confidence to play consistently well. And we're going to talk about that book. That's why you're on the podcast. And I cannot wait to hear about this and for you to share everything that you've put into this tremendous book. Before we do that, I would like to just discuss your history in sports. What other sports have you been involved with or have you written about?
Well, I've been doing this a long time. I was teaching at Mississippi State back in 1980, like 40 something years ago. And I remember I was running the counseling center. I was the clinical director, and the tennis coach came in. He'd been in the military and they had done some mind control stuff. And he was wondering if I could do some mental stuff with his team, his tennis team. And we started with tennis, and then it was baseball and it was golf. And we got really, really good results. I'd done a lot of work with Eastern disciplines, with yoga, with karate and meditation and so on. And between those kind of techniques and, you know, traditional psychological stuff, put together a combination of things. We had really good results. And when I left Mississippi State, I moved back to Canada. I'm originally Canadian, and started working with the AAA baseball team in Vancouver, and then the National Hockey League team and the Canadian Football League team. Then we moved to LA, and I worked with the Rams, and I worked with the Dodgers, and I worked with the Mets, New York Mets. I mean, it just spread out. So there's been about 40 different sports over the years that I've worked with at the professional level, at the Olympic and national team level, and with just developmental athletes working and recreational athletes in golf, certainly working to just be better and enjoy the game more.
What inspired you to focus on psychology? And then on top of that, relating it to sports?
Well, it's funny, when I was young and I went into university, went to college, I was thinking of medicine, and frankly, I didn't really enjoy the physical sciences, you know, chemistry, physics, biochemistry. So what I did like was psychology. And so that's how that happened. And it was interesting because I did the undergraduate schooling, then I got a master's degree. And then I thought, man, I've had enough school for a while. So I took a couple of years off, worked in a mental institution for a few years, and then said, if I'm sticking in the field, I've got to go back and get a PhD, which I did. And then began teaching, and then really because I was quite athletic as when I was younger. I mean, I played all the sports in high school. I played football through high school and college. And so it was kind of a natural. I mean, that combination of psychology and my interest in sport. And I think sport is a remarkable form of human performance. And I just think, you know, and golf is such an amazing example, because I think it was Bruce Crampton who once said that golf is a compromise between what your ego wants you to do, what your experience tells you to do, and what your nerves let you to do.
Yeah, no doubt.
It is. I mean, you know, your people really want to do well and they're driving themselves, and yet the tension and the pressure interferes with that natural flow. And so it's mastering all the elements, the right focus, the right feeling, certainly are keys.
Well, those are some of your focuses in that book, Right Focus, Right Feeling, Right Attitude. And I love that. Talk to me about that. Where did you come up with that theory and those ideas, and dive into the book a little bit?
Well, it's interesting because this is my ninth book, and I've written books on performing under pressure, why teams win, books on probably the most successful book is a book called Hockey Tough on the mental side of hockey, because I've worked for years in the National Hockey League. But people kept saying to me, my friends kept saying to me, you got to do a book on golf. Golf's such a mental game. You got to do a book on golf. So eventually, you know, I'd had a number of clients, as I say, whether they're PGA players, NCAA players, high school athletes, recreational athletes. So I just started a combination of putting these experiences of what really works. And that's how I've always operated, you know, just what works. And It's really key to me that people have the right focus. And when I talk about that, I'm saying right focus is how you talk to yourself. And I would encourage people, I certainly encourage my athletes to know that they're good golfers, or if they're developing, they're becoming good golfers, to know what their strengths are, that they can reaffirm that. I think affirmations are useful. It's interesting that I think it was Gary Player, you know, who was a great player. Mm-hmm. He once wrote, and I mentioned in the book, he said, As a boy of 15, I was consumed with the game, and I'd stand in front of a mirror and say over and over to myself, "You're the greatest golfer in the world." He said it was absurd, but something told me that it mattered. And so I, you know, I tell people, pick 6-8 affirmations, repeat them to you. Things like, you know, I hit long and straight. I have a good short game. I have good touch. I make good reads. One of my clients who was a high school golfer, one of the affirmations that I've given him that really he's find very helpful is this putt is going in the hole. Because so often people are thinking, shit, don't miss. You know, it's don't hit it too hard. Don't, you know, don't baby it. It's all this negative stuff.
Yeah. And I tell students all the time, the mind doesn't comprehend the word don't. You know, it hears, you know, hit it in the woods, hit it in the bunker, hit it in the water. Yeah. It doesn't register the word don't.
Exactly. So, you know, I a good affirmation is, you know, my mind is a force I use to make things happen. So it's just how we talk to ourselves is important, because I really think that our thoughts are food for our spirit. And if we're going to be saying don't miss or don't, you know, don't whatever, as you said, it just exacerbates the problem. Yeah. So positive thoughts about ourselves, positive thoughts about our game are important. And a huge thing on focus is visualization.
Yes.
Being able to really see the shot you want to make and see your target, see their trajectory, see the landing spot, see where the ball's going to roll to that target. I mean, really see the whole thing. And a lot of people have said that, you know, how important visualization is for them and their game.
But yeah, I'll tell students how it just keeps you in the moment. You know, it's like if you're sitting there visualizing the shot you want to hit, whether it's going, you know, down the middle of the fairway or hitting the middle of the green or draining that putt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that just keeps them in the moment, right? They're not thinking about what they did wrong, the prior shot or the prior hole. They're not thinking ahead to what's coming down the pipeline or what hole's coming up that they don't like or that score they really want to shoot, but they're just nervous and they're going to get there. If you're just visualizing what's in front of them at that moment, it helps them keep them in the moment.
It keeps them in the moment. You're absolutely right. And it keeps them positive because yeah. You're seeing the shot you want to make. You're not looking at, oh, geez, don't hit it in the bunker. Don't hit it in the trees. It's this is where this is going. And so it keeps you in the present and it gives you the direction that you want to have. So it's a very, very valuable thing. Nick Faldo said, visualization is the most powerful thing we have. And Phil Mickelson said, mental rehearsal is just as important as physical rehearsal. I mean, seeing the shot. And I think I would really encourage people to develop a consistent routine. And part of that routine is, to me, it's take a breath, see the shot you want to make. You know, as again, trajectory, target, trajectory, landing spot, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Create a swing or two with experiencing the muscle memory to make that shot. And then you step up to it, take another breath and hit the ball. And if someone were to ask me what is the most important or the most useful thing that I've taught people or helped people with, I would say it's breathing.
Yeah.
Because just as you said about visioning the shot, breathing keeps you absolutely in the moment. You know, I've made a good shot or I've made a poor shot. It's over. How do I get back into the present? This breath. So I work a great deal with breathing, and I really believe it helps people to stay calm and strong.
Yeah, I love your opinions on breathing in your book. Again, something I try to teach students a lot. And I feel like when you're breathing and you focus on breathing, like you said, it keeps you in the moment. But I feel like it's the body's way of just letting the brain know that, hey, everything's okay down here. Calm down, focus. whenever you're breathing and you're just, like you said, you're in the moment and your body's telling the brain, hey, I'm good.
Well, I think you just nailed another thing, Steve, and that is that the breathing, conscious breathing really integrates the mind and the body. Mm-hmm. And usually the problems golfers have is the mind is operating at one speed and the body at another, or they're not integrated, they're not connected. And are you familiar at all with Tim Galway?
I've heard the name, yes.
Yeah, Galway wrote a book in the 70s called The Inner Game of Tennis. He was really a tennis coach initially at Harvard. And it's a very interesting book. And then he later wrote a book, The Inner Game of Golf and The Inner Game of Skiing, The Inner Game of Coaching, and so on. But one of the things he says is that we have two minds, mind number one and mind number two. Mind number two, after you've played a sport, golf, for a while, mind number two knows how to hit the ball. Mind number one is almost like this superego. It's this part of your mind that's watching you, and it doesn't trust mind number two. So mind number one is that active mind that is always saying something like, basically, don't mess this up. Mm-hmm. And it's creating tension. And so what he did was work to develop a way to calm mind number one, and just allow mind number two to play. And I think breathing very much does that. If you just remind yourself, breathe in, breathe out. I tell clients that breathing, watching the breath, is like waves in the ocean. The wave comes in and the wave flows out. And you can always find the waves, and they will help you to stay more calm and strong. So just in through the course of a match, as you walk along, if you just think of the wave flows in, the wave flows out, it just keeps you with your own natural rhythm. It keeps you in the present. It keeps you more calm and strong.
Do you have any particular breathing patterns that you like more than another? Like, I've read about breathe in for four, hold for four, out for 4 seconds. Just an example. But is there any particular breathing patterns you like over another? And then also, while breathing, do you recommend visualization at the same time?
Absolutely, I do. But and I have... in the book, in Winning Golf, I describe in detail this breathing technique. And I encourage people to read it to themselves, read it onto their phone or any other recording device. And then they can sit back, push the button on their phone, and just sit back and listen to this. But initially, I go through a whole breathing thing. You know, first it's just feeling the rhythm of the breath. As I said, the breath is like waves in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Then it's focusing on the inspiration, on drawing energy to you. It's as if energy is all around and you can draw the energy to you with each in breath. And the third thing is directing the energy. Just imagine on the in breath it comes to you. On the out-breath, it flows down into your arms and hands, right down into the shaft and the head of the golf club. Mm. Breathing in energy, then it flows down the legs into the feet so that you're really nicely grounded. And then it's breathing in, and imagine energy flowing up into your head and up into your eyes. And then I have people do some visualization where they see themselves being focused, swinging smooth, you know, with clarity and performing really well. Because I think as you get into that really good feeling zone, the quality of your imagery improves and you can really see yourself playing well. But in answer to the first part of the question, a lot of people have more structured breathing techniques than what I recommend. My technique is the breath flows in, the breath flows out. I think it's the simplest approach. Mm-hmm. Rather than in for four counts, hold for four counts, out for four counts, hold for four counts. I just say, take your time, feel the breath flowing in, and feel the breath flowing out. You can always find the waves.
The best way to prevent illness, wear and tear of muscles, and deterioration is by using the proper vitamins, supplements, and minerals that you can get from Pure On Main. As a golfer, your main focus is to have fun, right? But you also want to improve your game and reduce aches and pains and injuries. You can enhance your golf game by adding trace minerals to your daily regimen or boost your stamina with Vitamineral Greens. Pure On Main has great options to choose from that also include a fabulous collagen that will keep your tendons and joints lubricated that will help you produce a better golf swing. Pure On Main has two locations. One is at North Main in downtown Greenville, and the other is on Cannon Street in downtown Greer. They have some of the best experts in the field of natural wellness, and they're available 7 days a week to help guide your personalized health journey. They not only carry amazing results-driven vitamins, they also provide state-of-the-art modalities such as massage therapy, foot detox, and wellness consulting. Serving the upstate for over a decade, their experts continue to take the time to help each individual pinpoint exactly what their body needs to optimize performance and remain pain-free. Go visit their two locations or give them a call at 864-991-2726. Make sure you visit their website at pureonmain.com, where you can purchase your supplements and learn more about their wonderful, wonderful services. Don't wait. Start your journey today towards living a happier and healthier lifestyle with the help of Pure On Main.
I'll be honest with you, Dr. Miller. I think some of the best rounds I've ever had really focused on what you're talking about. I mean, just that breathing and having a routine with that and going through my pre-shot routine. Maybe I take a deep breath in as I'm standing behind the ball, trying to visualize, picking up my target. And then another deep breath as I set up over the golf ball before I swing. And that, you know, developing a rhythm that way, or a routine, I should say, every single shot, whether it was a drive, whether it was a putt. And reading parts of your book there, when it was talking about breathing, I was just like, yes. I mean, he's hitting the nail on the head on all this stuff. This is absolutely wonderful. And I encourage you as a listener to go out there and please read this book, because especially the part about the breathing, it works. It 100% works.
Well, you know, there's a great quote, couple of great quotes on breathing. One of them is Tom Watson, who said, "When I learned to breathe was when I learned how to win." Yeah. And Curtis Strange said, "Under pressure, the most important thing I have to remember is to breathe." And I mean, I know these techniques work. I've been doing it for years and years. And what I think I like about the book is it's fairly simple, but I've incorporated probably comments from about 70 of the world's top golfers, which really corroborate the kind of simple things that I'm talking about. Like, as you said, breathing, visualization, positive self-talk. These are just simple, basic things. Mm-hmm. And the thing I think a lot of people forget is that people tend to do under pressure what they've previously done under pressure. So people who get a little tense in a pressure situation, they'll probably do that again the next time, unless they overtrain themselves away from the pressure. And by that, I mean, if every day you take 10 minutes and you do this little breathing visualization, almost meditation, after a while, you really develop some habit strength that you can then go into a pressure situation, just take a breath, and there's something there for you to help you manage the intensity of the moment. It's exactly the same as if you wanted to get physically stronger and you go to the gym and you lift and you lift and you lift and you lift weights. Well, after a few weeks, you're noticing that you're stronger. And if you have to move the furniture around, you can do it.
Yeah.
Very same. If every day you're working a few minutes on your breathing, positive self-talk and visualization, you become much more able in pressure situations to say something, to see what you want to create, take a breath, and it happens. But you got to do the work. Jack Nicholas said, confidence is the most single important factor in the game. And no matter how great your natural talent, there's only one way to gain it and to sustain it, and that's by doing the work. And I, you know, it'd be nice to say it's easy, you don't have to do the hard work, but you want to do the work. And the kind of things that I'm talking about, positive self-talk, visualization, breathing, these things help you in everything you do in life. So you can use your golf training to just spill over and be a positive influence in any other aspect of performance that one is experiencing. And we're all performers. Everything we do is a performance.
Right. Well, positive self-talk, I think, is what you said there is huge. I mean, you know, we get down to ourselves, whether it's life, whether it's about the game of golf, and it can beat us down to our knees, you know, and we start talking negative talk, and the next thing you know, we're going to buy into that. I love what you're talking about there with positive self-talk, because you can't do that enough. If you sit there and tell yourself that you're a great golfer, you're going to start believing that. But if you're telling yourself, you know what, I stink at putting, gosh, I can't hit a drive, I can't hit a fairway, you know, I can't make birdies, you keep saying those things over and over, like you're talking about, you're going to become that. You're going to become what you think that you are and what you continue to tell yourself. I love that you emphasize that.
Well, I think that many golfers, I don't know if I can't say most, but many prepare for the miss. They prepare for disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Good golfer always sees the positive, prepares for success.
Yeah. I love when you talk about pick an animal.
Yeah.
What kind of animal do you want to be as far as your game? You talk about a predator. Expand on that. Yeah. I love that.
Well, this is in every sport that I've been involved with. I ask athletes to pick an animal that would give them the feeling they'd want to have if they were playing at their best. And it's really interesting, Steve, because with elite athletes, 99% of them pick predators. And I would say probably two-thirds of those, 60, 65%, are picking the big cats. They're picking tigers and leopards and jaguars and panthers and lions and so on. Some are picking wolves, some picking bears, some picking eagles. I mean, if you think of Jack Nicklaus, who was the bear, or Tiger Woods, who, of course, the tiger, Greg Norman, who was the shark, these animals. And then I ask them, once they've picked an animal, I say, what's the difference between the golfer who's the predator versus the golfer who's the prey? And most of them will come up with the answer that the golfer is the predator, steps up to make it happen, steps up to make his or her shot. And the golfer who's the prey steps up and is thinking a little more tentatively, don't miss, don't screw this up. And that's just the way it is. I've also learned over the years that when I ask kids that question, I get some very strange answers. So it's much more relevant with elite performers than it is with kids.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you want to step up to make your shots. As I was saying, I have an excellent high school golfer that I'm working with right now in Texas. Matter of fact, he was U.S. junior amateur qualifier this past weekend. I'll be speaking to him tonight. So one of the things that we talk about, you know, putting was a bit of an issue. And we talked about him developing the thought, this is going in the hole. Seeing it going in there, creating the feeling that goes with that stroke. And the thought is, this is going in the hole. Instead of, you know, you've got that four footer and it's like, geez, don't miss this. And, you know, that just creates a little tension that interferes with that smooth flow of the stroke. This is going in the hole. That's a great thought for somebody, particularly on shorter putts.
Yeah, it's like calling your shot. You know, you call your shot and you kind of, you believe in the fact you're going to do it. I can't tell you how many times I've been working with a student and I want them to hit a particular shot and I'm standing there watching them hit. And I can see the shot over and over and over in my mind because I want them to hit that and trying to get them to hit that. But I'd step right in there and do the shot only because I've seen it over and over in my mind. And I know that I can do that shot. And it's like taking that mindset to the golf course. Mm-hmm. Call your shot, just like you're talking about. Tell yourself you're going to hit this shot. And 9 times out of 10, I think you can do it.
It's interesting. You know, there's a chapter in the book I call the Sub 60 Club. Mm-hmm. It's all these PGA guys who shot sub 60 rounds. And then there's two people that I talked with who shot the best rounds ever, which was 55. And one of them, Ryan Gibson, who was the first fellow to do this, at least according to the Ripley's, when I talked with Ryan, it was interesting because he said to me that that day he was driving to the golf course, there was a country western song on the radio that he really liked. And he said, I was singing that song the whole day. I mean, right through the round, I was singing that song. So it's almost like he was breathing and relaxed. And yet he knew he was going to make his shots. He just had this feeling that he was going to make the shots. But it was a good feeling day. And I said to him, were you actually singing? He said, I was actually singing. I said, well, singing's like breathing. But it was when you're shooting lights out like that in these sub 60 rounds, it's, you just know that it's going in the hole.
Let me pick your brain a little bit about practicing with a purpose. I know you talk about that. And if you want your range game, which all of us, we all know that our range game is a lot better than it is on the golf course. We seem to be able to hit those shots, I think, because, you know, we relax more. There's not any tension, not any stress. And that's why you want to practice with a purpose, put some stress on yourself, some pressure on yourself when you're on the range. But for those who say they already do this, I've had students come to me and say, Steve, listen, I'm practicing with a purpose. I'm doing what you're telling me. I'm picking targets. I'm playing games. But yet I'm still struggling with the success on the course compared to how well I did on the range. What advice would you give that golfer that just has a hard time transitioning their really good range game over to the golf course?
Well, I mean, what is the difference? The difference is that the range game is really not consequential. And it's that angst factor that comes in when they're stepping out onto the course and the strokes count. The best advice I could give them on that, Steve, is to make your range. I mean, very few people, when they're on the range, approach a shot the same way. They may pick a target, but they don't step away, take a breath, sight the target, take a practice swing, step up, take another breath, and then hit the ball. They just sometimes, if they're working on a mechanical thing, which is fine, they're working on just swing mechanics, then it's maybe shot after shot. But I'm saying recreate the same routine as best you can. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'd say. You can try and give yourself, I don't like the word try, you can give yourself a score, you know, in terms of create some scenario to make it, you know, put some pressure on yourself. But the big thing is the absence of consequence, which is the absence, which is less pressure. And in the book, I describe a very standard, an inverted U function. It's just imagining a graph, hard to describe, but imagine a graph where on one side we have performance, and on the other, on the bottom side, we, in a sense, we have pressure. Mm-hmm. And you can see with very little pressure, performance is low. But as pressure mounts, we get into a good place. Now we're challenging ourselves. And then as pressure continues to increase, performance drops off. So we see that with, it's almost like a, as I say, it's almost like an inverted U. So what happens on the range is we can get into that good place for some players. And when we step out onto the course and it counts, we start talking to ourselves in a different way. And that's why overtraining with self-talk, overtraining with visualization, overtraining with breathing helps you to moderate that difference. And so the more you can practice that on the range and make it more, you know, to say something positive, to run the routine, to do the visualization and the breathing. One of my clients, it's interesting, again, in the book, I have one chapter where I talked with three of my former clients who were NHL hockey players who I'd worked with for several years, and two of my former clients who are NFL football players who I worked with, all of whom now have become good recreational golfers. And I'm asking them how the work we did when they were playing hockey or football professionally, how is that translated to their golf? And they're all finding absolutely it's translated. But one of them, who became pretty much of a physical trainer now, and he works with golfers, he was always very fitness minded athlete, professional athlete, he was saying that he felt that the more people work on their physical well-being, the fitter they are, the better their body handles pressure. And he also said, and I think there's a lot to what he said, mental training isn't just something that happens on the range. Mental training is what you do when you go home in the afternoon and you sit there and you do the breathing, you do the visualization, you do the self-talk. That's mental training. And the more reps you do, the more you will be able to take that onto the golf course and, you know, in competitive situations. So I'm saying practice away from the range, practice this stuff on the range, and the more you do it, it'll transfer onto the golf course. There's not a real easy answer. I think breathing and self-talk and visualization are easy techniques, but you got to do the reps.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. And one of the things I was going to ask you was about developing a process towards your goals. And you talk about how important goals are. And obviously, you need goals to be successful, right? But I think it's the process behind reaching those goals that's really important and committing to that process. And I think everything you're talking about there with practicing your breathing, practicing your positive self-talk, that should be part of that process, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, people would, a lot of people wish that certain things would happen. And that's the beginning. And then if you put that wish into some structure, this is what I aspire to. Now, what are the steps that I have to do to make this happen? And this is my long-term goal. Let's say you have some, 12, 14-year-old kid, and he wants to play college golf. Well, that's a great goal, or even play pro golf. That's a great goal. So, okay, what does he have to work on to be better? What does he have to work on to be a little stronger? What does he have to work on to have better touch? You know, what does he want to do to improve his short game? And then what are the steps that he takes? Working with people like yourself, working people like myself, what work are you going to do to make these things happen? And I mentioned in the book that, I like for goals to be what I call SMART goals. And all I'm saying about that is that the goal should be specific. So the S part is specific, and the M part is measurable, and the A part is attainable, and the R is relevant, and the T is setting a time on it. So if I'm going to say something about my short game, and this is what I want to be able to do, get close to the pin on short chips, then I'm going to work on it so much. I'm going to give myself some time in which I want to see more improvement so that, you know, at first maybe 3 out of 10 are going to get where I want it to go, and then it becomes 5 out of 10, and then it becomes 7 or 8 out of 10. And as I see that improvement, my confidence absolutely grows.
Right.
You know, and so I think these are very, very good techniques that I'm describing, but there's nothing that is absolutely easy. Everybody seems to believe that you've got to do the work.
And what are some of the most common swing flaws you've encountered that was caused directly from a poor mental state? Anything off the top of your head?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle that golfers have is fear.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, fear of missing the shot, fear of not being okay, missing the cut, whatever, fear.
We've all experienced that. I mean, if we have to be honest with ourselves, right, and say, hey, it's okay to admit that we've been scared and had fear on the golf course. Everybody has to some degree.
Well, fear is the great obstacle. And the opposite of fear to me is love. Love and fear, I believe, are the two core human emotions. So often when I explain this to clients, and then I ask them, what can you do to move, you know, from feeling anxious or having a lot of doubt, uncertainty, move it into a better feeling? And I say, what's the opposite? Some people say confidence, but I say the emotion underlying it is love. I love to play this game. I love the challenge. Somebody hits a really good shot and it takes a bad bounce and ends up in a bad lie. They can step up and they can say, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? Or they can say, hey, here's a chance to make a great shot from a bad lie. It's just a mindset thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It changes the way you're going to react to the situation. Fear, anger, tension, frustration, they all create tension. Tension interferes with that smooth flow. And as I always say, the ball has no energy of its own. It gets its energy from you. So that's why I like the idea of breathing in, that energy's flowing through you. And it's flowing right down your arms into the shaft and the head of the club, smooth flow. And, you know, with good mechanics, in a smooth flow, the ball will go where you want it to go. When there's a yeah, but in your thinking, that mind one stuff pops right up, it creates that little bit of tension. When we see that, we've got to love ourselves. I mean, you know, accept ourselves, love ourselves. The easiest way to love yourself is just take a breath.
Yeah.
And then it's a great affirmation is, I can handle this. Yes, I can. So, you know, I'm always telling my clients, what I'm saying is pretty reasonable. And I'm saying to my clients, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I know if I go to the gym and I lift, I get stronger. I know that, but I don't go to the gym, you know, and they laugh. And I say, yeah, it's the same with this stuff. What I'm saying, understanding it. Now do the reps. If every time you're in a slightly pressured situation or you perceive the negative side, the dark side of it, use that as a reminder to love yourself. Take a breath.
Well, I know every golfer is different in how they think or their mental game struggles, but if you're going to give advice to a golfer who is getting ready to go out to the course, whether it's for a very important round in a tournament or maybe it's just an important match with a friend, what would be the best or the most common mental advice you could give them before they tee it up?
Well, I would hope that I had had a few couple of sessions with them so that then I'd be saying, stay with the breath, see the shots you want to make, keep it smooth, work with the good focus, the good feeling. I mean, that's what we're, you know, that's what we're coaching. If I'm saying that to somebody who I haven't met with before, it sounds a bit simplistic, but I would probably say to them, one thing I want you to do throughout the day, as you walk along in the course before a shot, is breathe. Take a breath. The breath is like waves in the ocean. I show them breathe in and breathe out. And you can always find the waves. It'll help you to stay more calm, more strong in the present. That's the simplest thing.
Yeah. And of course, as you're listening to this, you hear Dr. Miller talk about breathing a lot. If you've taken lessons from me, I've said the same, how important it is. But there's a reason why you're emphasizing this so much, because it works. There's a lot of validity to it. Just take the time to do it, come up with that routine, make it part of your daily process, make it part of your round of golf, and you will see the effects of it. It's tremendous.
I wrote an article for a local paper here in California where I really talked about how I thought the book, of course, it was self-promoting, but I said, I thought the book really, it was unusual that you read a book about golf that really helps you in managing your life better. And I think this does that, because I think golf is very much the way you react on the golf course is indicative of a lot of things going on in your life. And it is subtle and it is pressure filled. And it does challenge you on that dimension of love and fear. I love the challenge, or God, don't miss this. You know, I mean, there's no joy in playing a game, a round of golf, even if the good score manifests. But if you're playing that round thinking, don't screw up, that's no fun.
Dr. Miller, you have shared some tremendous information. Listener, I'm begging you, please go out there, pick up Dr. Miller's book, Winning Golf, The Mental Game, Creating the Focus, the Feeling, and the Confidence to Play Consistently Well. You can pick it up pretty much anywhere you purchase a book, Amazon. You can download it to your device, bookstore. Please go out there and read it. It's a really, really good book. That's why Dr. Miller's on this podcast, to spread the word about it. Just please take the time to do it. You will receive some really valuable information that's going to help you get to that next level. And Dr. Miller can most certainly help you get there. Dr. Miller, where can the listener find you on social media? Are you on social media?
Yeah, I mean, they can always send me an email through my website, through my email address, which is just drmiller@saulmiller.com. drmiller@saulmiller.com. Saul is S-A-U-L, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. drmiller@saulmiller.com. I also have a website, which is Dr. Saul Miller. And I have clients all over the place. I mean, all over the world now, because I've been seeing a lot of people virtually. And that's great too. But I really appreciate the opportunity and a lot of very good questions, Steve. And I'm hoping that people will find it useful.
Well, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Congratulations, Dr. Miller. You've clearly had a tremendous career in the world of sports psychology, and you've helped countless people with their game and also with their life. So congratulations on that. And I wish you all the best going forward. Can't wait for another book that you put out down the road. And again, please go out there and purchase this book. Go to his website, saulmiller.com, SaulMiller.com, to learn more about Dr. Miller and all the wonderful, wonderful things he's doing in the world of sports. I can't thank you enough, man. This has been a pleasure. You've made my day today. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. You know, one last thought is that one of the people who was kind enough to endorse the book, somebody I worked with years ago, was Nancy Lopez, just a wonderful woman. And she made some comment about how the book would strengthen one's mental game and help you to play happier, better golf. And I really like the idea of happier, better golf. Of course, if you're playing better golf, you're happier.
Right.
But playing happy golf also helps you to play better. And that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, just having that perspective.
We're talking about, it comes from feeling good about yourself. And feeling good about yourself makes you happier and helps you to play better. It's So be well, everybody. Enjoy the sport.
Thank you, Dr. Miller.
Pleasure, Steve.
This camp doc is ain't about hitting some little white ball in some yonder hole. It's about inner demons, self-doubt, human frailty, and overcoming all that crap.
What a great conversation that was with Dr. Miller. As you know, he has a plethora of information that he shared with you. That's just a sample of what he's going to teach you in that book. And listen, I hope you can hear the passion in my voice about this, because when I know something works, I've seen it work. I've seen it work in myself. I've seen it work in my students. I've seen it work in other athletes. And when I see that and I share that with you today, I know it will help you. I know it will improve your golf game. Give it a chance. See what this is all about. Dive into it. Work on that breathing. Work on that visualization. Work on that positive self-talk. All those things he mentioned. Again, just examples of things we need to do to better our mental game, to, you know, really not only help us with our golf game, but as you can see, it can really help you with life as well. So please, please go out there and give this a shot. The mental game is so important, as you know, otherwise you wouldn't have listened to this podcast. So give it time, strengthen it, work on it, practice it, like Dr. Miller suggests, and you will see some positive results. I encourage you to share this podcast with people that you know, your family, your friends, those that play the game. This will really help them a lot. Remember, when you share my podcast throughout this season, season four, it puts you in a drawing to win some fantastic prizes at the end of the season. You don't want to miss out on that. So the more times you share it, tag me in it at GoForthGolf on Instagram, GoForthGolf Instruction on Facebook, at GoForthGolf on TikTok and on Twitter. Tag me on those profiles. I'll see it. I'll put you in the drawing, and you have a chance to win those great prizes. Please go out there and do that. I want to see you win some good stuff. Remember to go out there and follow that Instagram page. Again, GoForthGolf. I just created it not long ago, like I mentioned to you in previous podcasts, and my TikTok page. I'm posting some really helpful tips that you can watch to help improve your game. The most recent one that I posted was the ball below your feet. How many times have we struggled with that on the golf course? So I'm going to post so many other short videos out there that will help you improve your game. Quick tips, it won't take long to watch. And also make sure you go to my YouTube channel, Go Forth Golf, as well. Those same tips will be out there for you to watch. Don't forget, this podcast is for you. So if you have a suggestion, you have something you want to hear me talk about, please share it with me. Reach out to me on those social media platforms. You can DM me, or you can send me an email at sgoforth@pga.com. Again, sgoforth@pga.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I would love to hear your suggestions and ways that I can help you improve your game. The next episode will drop on Wednesday, May the 17th. Nick and I will be back doing our predictions for the PGA Championship. We're going to share with you our results from the Masters picks that we did, our head-to-head matchup. I'll give you a little hint. This guy come out on top. Very proud of that. So I got to rub it in his face a little bit on the next episode. So again, we'll be doing our predictions for the PGA Championship and also talking about some other topics in the world of golf as well. As always, I encourage you to hit those drives long and straight, hitting those greens in regulation, draining more putts, and most of all, having a good time. No matter if it's by yourself, with family, with friends, get out there, have a fantastic time. That's why we get out there and play this wonderful game. Don't forget to do something nice for somebody today, because remember, it's going to make you feel absolutely incredible to put somebody else before yourself. And remember, together, let's go forth to a better golf game.
You've been listening to the Go Forth and Golf Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to receive alerts on new episodes. For more information, please follow us on social media at Go Forth Golf Instruction or visit our website at GoForthGolfInstruction.com. Remember, together, let's go forth to a better golf game.